Welcome to Build Beyond Bricks, the Western Sydney Community Forum podcast. A place to learn, share, connect and explore, using analysis and insights to lead and shape the future of communities.
Hello and welcome to our platform, Build Beyond Bricks podcast, which is all about building communities. My name is Catherine Manziwa and I am from the Western Sydney Community Forum team. Today, I'll be your host for this conversation, and I would like to acknowledge the Darug Nation, who are the traditional custodians of the lands I am joining you on today. I would like to pay my respects to elders past and present. Today, we are talking about young carers. According to the Australian Bureau of Statistics, there are approximately 83,700 young carers living in New South Wales and over 260,000 young carers in Australia. However, these statistics are considered to significantly underestimate the number of young carers. Many qualitative studies note that young people are not identifying as young carers, either because of the hesitancy to admit caring responsibility within the family, or because the young person themselves do not consider themselves as a young carer. Population estimates of this prevalence of young carers also vary in Australia due to differences in how caring is defined. To dive deeper into this topic of young carers, I am joined by Jenny, who is a young carer, and Mary from an organization called Little Dreamers. To give a little background on our host, I'd like to first introduce Jenny Nguyen. Jenny is 25 and lives in Southwest Sydney. She is a carer of her younger brother and practices as a social worker. Jenny is passionate about supporting carers, LGBTQI+ issues, climate change, and public education and health. She is involved in the advisory board for Carers New South Wales LGBTQI+ Carers Project, Little Dreamers Youth Carer Advocacy Project, and Sydney Local Health District's Care Program. Jenny, thank you for joining us today.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Our second guest, Mary Pilkington, Community Engagement Coordinator at Little Dreamers. Mary grew up as a young carer for her dad and her younger brother, and Mary started young carer advocacy work when she was in high school by sharing her story with decision makers and media, co-directing a short film about young carers and running a support group for other young carers in her local area. Mary now works as the Community Engagement Coordinator and Interim New South Wales State Manager at Little Dreamers. Outside of her work at Little Dreamers, Mary also loves nature and animals and talking to people about the environment. Thank you for joining us today, Mary.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us.
When we're talking about young carers, who are actually young carers? And Jenny, I will pass that question on to you first.
So a young carer is someone who is 25 or under that provides unpaid care and support to like a family member or friend, and this person has a disability, mental health, drug or alcohol misuse, terminal illness, or is frail.
When we're talking about who young carers are, I feel like it's always helpful to give some examples because people can really resonate with that. A young carer could be someone who lives with a grandparent who has dementia. They could have a sibling who has a mental health condition or who is autistic. They could have a parent who uses a wheelchair or has another sort of chronic condition that means they need some support around the house. So there are like so many different family situations that young people can be in that mean they're in a caring role. And I think the definition is like super flexible and yeah, accounts for a lot of diversity in that as well.
Can that make it a little bit difficult in actually pinpointing who a young carer is if the definition is so broad, Mary?
Yeah, definitely. And I think because obviously there are so many people in the country who have disabilities or chronic illnesses, and that occurs on a really broad spectrum, it can be difficult for young people to identify themselves as being in a caring role. At Little Dreamers, we talk about like a continuum of care. So on one end, there might be young people who, you know, they might not be providing a lot of personal care for somebody, but maybe they're a little bit more independent. Maybe they have to pack their own school lunches from when they're really young and get themselves to school because their parent is unwell and can't do it for them, but they're not sort of providing a lot of one-on-one care to that person, all the way to the other end of the continuum of care, where young people are like primary carers that might be spending over 40 hours a week providing care for somebody and doing that quite intensely. So yeah, it definitely can be tricky then to get the word out to people and help them identify themselves as carers. That's definitely a barrier.
And turning to you, Jenny, what was that aha moment, if there was, that you're like, I think I am a young carer? Like, the definition may be broad, but I think I fit in this category. What was that moment?
Funnily enough, the reason I found out I was considered a carer was when I was on student placement in my social work degree. We had a presentation from the carer program of that area, and they were talking about carers, and then they were talking about hidden carers being young people. And I remember sitting in that presentation and just feeling like, oh my God. It was like a pin drop. Yeah, that's right. I was like, all these things I've been feeling for so long by myself that I didn't even know how to describe, that I'd never really told anyone, was just neatly packaged in front of me. And so that was my big aha moment, where I remember afterwards I thanked the presenters. But even then, I didn't do anything about being a carer straight away. I had the label, but it wasn't until maybe a couple years later, where through my work I had to do so much carer support, that I thought to myself, like, maybe I should apply some of that philosophy to myself. I know what the carer supports are. How come I've never accessed it? And so even as someone who was, you know, in the sector, it took me a while to even engage with support. So I think about how for other young people, it would be very different.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That aspect of hidden carers is crucial. And I think that's why this conversation is so, so timely, so that we can make this aware and spread the word as well. Thank you for sharing that, Jenny. Mary, in your line of work with Little Dreamers, what are some of the challenges that you see young people facing? I know Jenny spoke about these feelings and experiences that she didn't necessarily have the language to describe. But in your line of work, what are some of the challenges that you see young carers facing, and the kind of support that Little Dreamers can offer?
Being in a caring role can affect young people in a lot of different ways. And obviously it's different for every individual, but I think some of the main things are, you know, there can be a lot of educational inequality. Sometimes when you're a carer, you might be late to school, or you might have difficulty completing schoolwork, or even just if you are busy in your caring role, or the person who you care for is up late at night, a lack of sleep can also all be contributing factors to people struggling at school. I think also in terms of sort of mental health, isolation is a really big thing. A lot of young people feel uncomfortable telling people about their caring role, whether that's out of fear of bullying or judgment. And that can cause people to feel like they're really sort of, I guess, alone in what's going on in their life. And that can cause a lot of mental health concerns as well. Not to mention just sort of like feeling anxiety about the person in your life that you're looking after, whether that be because they're sick, because there's separation anxiety, being away from them. All those things can be really impactful. So yeah, I guess the main stuff that we try and do at Little Dreamers is firstly provide community for young carers, being able to connect them with other young people who just get it. Like, I think, as you know, Jenny was talking about how the people who did that presentation were able to describe all of these things that had always been there for her, but she'd never heard before. I think that oftentimes when young carers can actually get together with each other, they're like, oh my gosh, yes, like it's so amazing to be with someone who actually gets it. And there are so many shared experiences. So that's a really big thing. And our programs also focus a lot on sort of upskilling and providing educational resources and support, like tutoring or other sort of helpful workshops that might be support educational outcomes, as well as things that support more general well-being, like having self-care workshops or like doing peer support groups where there can be space to talk and get things off your chest.
One thing that is very definitive about a young person's experience, especially under that under 25s, is education. Whether you're going to school, whether you're going to dance, whether you're going to some kind of after school sports training, or you go on to do tertiary education, that is very much a part of the young people's experiences. And with that comes teachers and coaches and all of these other people. What is the role of education systems or teachers or coaches in either identifying someone who is a young carer or supporting a young carer? Is there a role for such people?
Yeah, there definitely is. It'd be great if there was more awareness and understanding about what it means to be a carer, particularly for young people. Being asked this question makes me realize it never came up when I was at school, and it makes me think about how things could have been very different. Knowing if you are able to identify that someone's a young carer, you're able to support them better, because there are often barriers for their ability to engage or be present or commit time in the same way. So why not support them so that they can achieve the best possible educational outcomes or sporting outcomes, you know, fostering their interest and creativity, all those things.
Mary, does an organization like Little Dreamers support others, other supports, if you will, around teachers, around coaches, or even extended family?
Yeah, so I guess we have a series of programs that are targeted at upskilling teachers and schools. That's called the Young Carer Project, and that involves pretty intensive teacher training that is really focused on giving teachers the knowledge and understanding of young carers to be able to support them adequately in the classroom. And that's definitely a super important thing. I think most people would know just from, you know, remembering their favorite teacher that teachers and coaches and those mentors can be truly life-changing. When teachers have that awareness of young carers, it can be so validating and so important that for those young people to feel like there's someone who's looking out for them and who's there to listen and who really cares and who wants to understand and has put the effort in to knowing what a young carer is and what that experience is like. That's definitely something that we really value. I don't think we've necessarily spoken to sort of coaches or that broader community space, but that's absolutely something that we would do if people wanted us to.
Where I come from, I'm originally from Zimbabwe, and a common saying that we have translates to that, like, it takes a village to raise a child. And that's a very common sentiment and saying in many cultures, and I'm sure a lot of people have heard it. But it sounds like in the situation of a young carer, it definitely takes a village to ensure not only the supports of their loved one and the person that they came from caring for is taken care of, but also their needs as a child, as a young adult, are also being met. So that's really, really great to hear. Mary, you spoke about a continuum of care, from making one's own lunches to maybe even providing some healthcare supports or anything that the person that they're caring for may need. So at what point can someone access Little Dreamers on that continuum of care?
Young people can access Little Dreamers at any point on that continuum of care, because we recognize that regardless of where they are, they might be impacted by their caring role differently. Yeah, even people on that lower end might still be feeling isolated in their caring role and might really benefit from meeting other young people who are in similar situations. So yeah, it's open to everyone.
Good to hear. And Jenny, how did you come across Little Dreamers? Was it just by chance? Did they come door knocking? Like, how did you get in contact with them?
I actually registered with Carer Gateway and they mentioned Little Dreamers and I was like, yeah, why not? And the rest is history. Yeah.
What was the impact on yourself to have the support of an organization like Little Dreamers or be linked up to them?
It was really interesting to see what Little Dreamers had to offer because by the time I was involved, I was receiving the newsletters, I was working full time. So I wasn't in a place to be participating in, say, the school holiday programs or anything like that. And incidentally, it was also when COVID started happening. So things like the young carer, retreats and groups, they weren't running face-to-face anymore and a few things got put on pause. But it must have been a few months later that they announced the young carer ambassador program.
Mm.
And I was like, okay, that's a cool opportunity. So I signed up to that and there were big plans about going to Melbourne and Canberra to do like leadership workshops and to pitch the Young Carer Advocacy Project report to Parliament, which unfortunately COVID impacted, but was really, really amazing through that program nonetheless to connect with other young carers and even to the Little Dreamers workers who offered so much positivity and support and encouragement. And from that, there's other opportunities that came out of it, just like this podcast.
I read in your bio how you do some incredible stuff around Carers New South Wales LGBTQI Carers Project and also Sydney Local Health District's Carers Program. Are you able to tell us a little bit about that kind of work and why it's so important for you yourself, someone with lived experience, to be in those particular spaces?
I think it's really important to think about the carer experience in an intersectional way because it shapes what is quite a, you know, rich experience. Like when I think about my sexuality and what it means to be a sibling carer, I'm someone who's not out to my parents. And so I always feel like I have an obligation to my family to look after my brother, but there's such a big part of me that I don't get to share with my parents. And that's a very specific experience that I do feel like deserves more, you know, deserves to be retold because I know I wouldn't be the only one who experiences this. Just in the same way that when I realized there were other people who were carers, it's really nice to know that people connect with the more nuanced experiences I may have. And for something like the Sydney Local Health District's carer program, as someone with lived experience as a carer, as well as a social worker who regularly works with carers, it's really important to merge those things together because I do feel like with my lived experience, I'm able to connect with carers in a different way, with more depth, even if it's just really showing them that I understand. And part of that is on an interpersonal level, but also hoping for change for the better on a larger scale. So that's why a big district-wide program like that has a lot of potential.
Mary, I wanted to turn to you as the New South Wales manager at Little Dreamers, the interim manager. Tell us a little bit about the kind of services that Little Dreamers offers and the kind of support that young people can turn to you guys for.
Awesome. Yeah. So we've got a bunch of different programs that we run in New South Wales. I guess firstly, we've got school holiday programs, which Jenny mentioned earlier. Those are sort of aimed at more the primary school age cohort. They're basically fun excursions during the school holidays that give young carers a little bit of a break from their caring role and take them out to do something really cool they might not be able to do with the rest of their family. So, for example, these holidays, we're going to the zoo and we're going to Disney on Ice. So that's going to be very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
We've also got Big Dreamers, which is our teenagers' personal development program that runs for 6 months and they have monthly workshops that focus on things like well-being, career and goal setting, practical things as well, like financial planning and that sort of thing. And it also has an amazing retreat, which is a really awesome experience. And we also have a young adults program called Level Up, which is for the 18 to 25 cohort. And that is really focused on social connections, so connecting those young people with each other to have that support network. And it also has online workshops as well that are focused on skills that are helpful for young adults. And yeah, that's been really awesome too. We've also got some peer support groups, and we do mentoring and tutoring. And we also have fun online, I guess they're sort of like game groups that happen once a week for different age groups. And that started during the lockdown, but they've been really popular. So we've just kept on going, and everyone just catches up on Zoom for an hour to play some games together, which is really lovely. And then the big one that I missed as well is a dream experience, which is where we give a young person a really special experience that they've always wanted to do but haven't been able to. So people have done things like go and meet their favorite celebrities, or see their favorite sports team, or go to a concert, lots of fun stuff like that.
Mary, you co-directed a film, I believe. Tell us a little bit about that. And you were in high school at the time of that. Inspired you?
It was a little while ago. It was a short film. It was not like a feature length documentary or anything like that.
A film nonetheless. We are among celebrities.
Yeah, that was a project that was organized by Care with New South Wales when I was involved with some of their programs when I was, you know, in high school as a young carer myself. And yeah, I guess they received funding to produce a short film that was led and created by young carers for young carers. So we worked in a team. I think there were probably about 15 of us, and the whole film was, you know, produced and written and acted in by a group of young carers. And the goal was to create something that could be shared in presentations or just shared on social media that raised awareness about who young carers were. Yeah, so that was a really awesome experience to have a creative way to express a young carer experience.
Is there a way that we could potentially see that? Is there a link on YouTube?
Or, yeah, there sure is. Yeah, I can definitely send it through.
Amazing. We will link it in the podcast notes below. And yeah, I'm really excited to have a look. I think there's always something really powerful about young people sharing their experiences, and well done to you. We spoke about supports young people can access, particularly organizations like Little Dreamers. But in the interim, or while they are accessing supports, is there any self-care practices that young people can do? Jenny, I'll turn to you. I think you had mentioned in your social work experience, there might have been some things there.
I always encourage people to reach out to those around them, just to connect with friends or family, and just don't be afraid to talk about, you know, your experience or what you're feeling, because the first step is understanding. If they are people you feel safe around to open up about, then it could be a really powerful way for you to feel supported, just feeling understood. In terms of self-care, there's also think about things you enjoy doing and try to set aside time for that. That can be easier said than done. Another go-to that maybe some people might be able to do is I always like to spend time with my dog. My dog will always be happy to spend that time with me. Pats and cuddles, can't go wrong with that.
And Mary, you mentioned that Little Dreamers does a kind of program around self-care. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so we'll often run workshops that encourage young carers to identify for themselves what works for them when it comes to self-care, and then they share it with their peers, which is, I think, a really nice way of supporting each other and giving ideas that work for them. And then they can get ideas from other young carers as well. I guess the sorts of things that normally come up in that workshop are stuff like dancing with the lights off, or doing something creative like painting or drawing, getting outside and hanging out with friends. I think, as Jenny said, though, for a lot of young carers, the first barrier is actually just deciding to prioritize themselves first, especially when young people have grown up in a caring role. It is really drilled in to prioritize others ahead of yourself. And that can often lead to burnout and feeling guilty about taking time for yourself. So that's often a big part of our workshop as well, is talking about why it's so important to practice self-care and encouraging young people to realize that they'll actually be better carers if they look after themselves first as well.
Jenny, if you had one last thing to say to our audience, particularly young carers, what is something that you would like to share?
I want young carers to know they're not alone. I mentioned earlier it was like a breath of fresh air when I finally had the words to describe my experience. So I want others to know that there are people out there who understand and can support you, particularly in your growth in that time of coming of age and learning to understand yourself and finding your identity. And I guess just a reminder that you're doing amazing. Don't forget about yourself and just keep going.
Yeah, I think other than what I've already said about making sure that you prioritize yourself and take that time for self-care, I think I would say, like, I think you should be really proud of what you do. And young carers build so many amazing skills through their caring role. They're often super mature and empathetic and can build lots of practical skills as well, like being really organized and even being able to administer medication and technical things like that. And so I think young carers should be really proud of themselves. And I hope that people who are sort of sitting on the fence about whether or not they are a young carer can really embrace that identity, because I really think it's something to be proud of.
Thank you both for your time today. I definitely have learned a lot more about young carers and the work that Little Dreamers does. Check out our podcast notes for how to get in touch with Mary from Little Dreamers and Jenny. Thank you to the both of them for this conversation. And thank you to our audience for listening. Please feel free to get in touch with your thoughts and questions at any time. Stay well, speak soon, and goodbye for now.
Thanks for listening to Build Beyond Bricks by Western Sydney Community Forum, the region's social development council, providing programs, services, analysis, and insights. To learn more, visit us at wscf.org.au.